Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Welcome to another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. My name is Kyle Borg, one of the regular co-hosts of this podcast that we know all of you love to stream directly into your eardrums because it is the best podcast around. If you doubt that, just go talk to Argentina because we rank very high. But it is good to have you tuning in with us today. I am joined today by President, Professor, and Pastor Barry York. Barry, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well, but a bit wet.
Do you want to give like any rationale for why you're wet, or do you want to leave listeners to fill in with their imagination why you're wet right now?
No, I just had to drive and run through a rainstorm to get here, so I'm just a bit wet. But
there we go.
All right, I'll dry off.
I'm a little wet for the other reasons. It's about 90 degrees and humid here.
Oh, wow.
And I was just at a meeting, and I had a 30-minute car ride home, and my AC does not work in my car. And I had a phone meeting, so I couldn't roll my window down and get fresh air. So I showed up sweaty. If people,
that's just miserable.
People don't want to know that, but now our listeners do know that. We are not talking today about water and wetness. That is not going to be the theme of our topic today. Before we jump in, though, I should note Scott is not able to be with us today. Scott maintains a very busy, active schedule. He is, of course, as many of our listeners know, in an active campaign season, and we are hoping the best for him. But that has drawn him away from some of his side projects today. That means he is not with us on 3GT. But Scott, if you happen to tune into this episode, we miss you. We hope you come back soon. Please come back soon. I'm stuck with Barry, and nobody just wants to hear Kyle and Barry talk.
So, he's slapping backs and kissing babies. And I almost said that backwards, which would have been unfortunate.
Oh, man. Well, today's topic that we are going to give some attention to has to do with Christian dating and the whole dating relationship. You know, if our listeners are unfamiliar, this is not charted territory in the Borg home. My oldest daughter is going to be 18 this summer. My oldest son is 16, but neither of them, as of yet, have been involved in a dating relationship. But Barry is going to be our experienced sage who is going to share tremendous wisdom with us because, Barry, you have helped walk all of your children through this.
In one manner or another, yes.
We won't ask you to rate what your greatest successes and failures were. We'll spare you that. But we did think it's a useful topic and one that for parents, but also for any young people who are tuning in, to give some intentional and hopefully some biblical thoughts on dating and in particular. A Christian's responsibility to date in the Lord. So that's going to be the open conversation. I'm going to kind of ask some questions, but since Scott is not here, it'll be a lot of a dialogue between Barry and I. So Barry, maybe to start us off, you know, the Bible doesn't recognize in one sense what we in a contemporary culture call dating. Does that mean that the Bible is silent on that kind of a relationship? Or how would you begin helping young people and parents begin thinking biblically about dating? Like, where would you even begin to go?
Well, first, I would just say that we shouldn't use the word dating. All we can say is courtship from now on.
Courtship. Oh, my bad. Courtship.
No, I'm just...
You're going to trigger somebody with that. It'll be great.
Yes. I kiss dating goodbye, you know.
That worked out well for him.
Yeah. No, so on the one hand, yes, to your question, I believe is, does the Bible speak to the subject? I do believe it does, but perhaps not in the way that many would hope for or think. Like, we're not going to go and find a chapter in the Bible that just has dating instructions. And like many things, and often the way that we address subjects on this podcast is talking about wisdom. There is wisdom, and there is wisdom to be applied, I believe, in this particular area of the Christian experience. So that'd be my first initial response, and then we can talk some more.
Yeah. So, you know, dating as we typically think of it, like we've been saying, it wasn't existent in the scriptures. But where would we begin to build kind of a foundation, or you know, I've got some ideas, but I want to hear yours first. How do you begin to disciple people into a relationship that is not explicitly spoken of in scripture, and yet a relationship that, you know, depending on time and season in life, is and can be a significant relationship? Where would you go to begin building just a basic foundation for it?
Well, I do think it begins in the Christian home. And it's so important to make sure, first and foremost, that to the degree that we're able to do so, that we've exhibited a faithful Christian marriage in our own homes. So hopefully Christian kids who are growing up, they're seeing healthy husband and wife relationships in the home. And as they grow up in that context, it really should be helping them to think through issues of what type of person they would want, especially as they get old enough to be thinking in these ways. You know, when your girls are little, you know this, when they're little, you know, 4 or 5, they say they want to marry you.
Yeah.
But they quickly learn that's not what they want to do. And so you want them to see a healthy relationship between mom and dad, which involves all sorts of things, communication, care, love, serving together, enjoying one another. They should be fully convinced that mom and dad are really in love with one another, and love is to grow in the Christian life. So they should see maturing of that love as they grow up under their parents in a Christian household. So I think it really begins with modeling. They should be in a church where they're seeing other young people, college students or young adults, learning how to navigate this and talking about it. They should be in a place where they're hearing about engagements and seeing people grow in healthy relationships, where they're receiving counsel and encouragement in the Lord. So I think it starts really in the community of the family and the church. And I believe we, in both of those realms, need to be thinking about that, how we're modeling and caring for the young people so that they are growing up in that healthy environment.
Yeah, I think that's really helpful in that context. I would add too, while the Bible doesn't explicitly speak to what we call a dating relationship today, I think, you know, and we'll talk in a couple minutes on the purpose of dating for a Christian, but you know, the Bible does say a lot about marriage. And so if one of the purposes or direction of dating is marriage, then what you're saying, Barry, is very important. I think to be in the community of the church, I would add to, and maybe we'll get more into this, but I think that the Bible's teaching on friendship is something that is very key, because marriage is a unique relationship, and dating is not, dating's going to be a little more analogous, I think, to a friendship prior to a lifelong commitment that you're going to find in marriage. And the Bible does say quite a bit about friendship, whether it gives the proverbial sayings, or, you know, we have examples in the Bible of friendship, things like that. So I think that young people or parents who are trying to disciple their kids here should think biblically about friendship. I think a major one is as well the Bible's whole theme and topic on holiness. Every relationship of life is to reflect a measure of holiness. And that looks very different given relationship contexts. And a dating relationship is one that needs to reflect biblical holiness. And sadly, I think the reality is oftentimes does not in a lot of very tempting ways. And sin can really get a foothold in that relationship. And so, you know, to be grounded in what does the Bible say just regarding holiness and relationships, and especially because it's a co-ed relationship, what does the Bible say about the holy use of the body and things like that? Those are all things. So while the Bible might not directly give us explicit instructions for dating. There is a wealth of help to be given from the scriptures as we think about that kind of a relationship. So, you know, maybe to bring the discussion forward a little bit, you know, what is the purpose of dating for a Christian? We jokingly mentioned courtship, and there is a whole culture that in using courtship is trying to define a very narrow purpose for that kind of a relationship. What Barry, what do you think? You know, how did you walk your kids through that? Or how do you pastor people? What is the purpose of dating for a Christian?
Yes. Well, just to emphasize a few things you just said to lead into a fuller answer to that question, is the whole idea of holiness and marriage. From the beginning of the Bible to the end, we see a picture of wedding, of marriage that begins in the Garden of Eden. And of course, the Bible ends with the beautiful scene of the church's marriage and consummation with its groom, Jesus Christ, in heaven in that beautiful garden city. And so all these questions and all the conversation that we're having needs to be framed with that we want Christian dating, we want Christian courting, we want Christian engagement, we want Christian marriage, because we're called to live as believers in that holy relationship with the Lord in each of these things. And so that's foundational to this whole discussion.
Yeah. So can I just pause? Because I think that's a really good thing to point out, right? As Christians, we approach life distinctly because we understand that it means something to be baptized into the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and to be distinct and separate from the world. And so, I'm really just piggybacking here for emphasis, but we do need to think of a distinctly Christian way to do dating, which is not going to be reflected by Hollywood. It's not going to be reflected in most school systems that you go to. So I really appreciate that to think about this in a Christian way. So
yes, as we emphasized, if we're thinking as Christians, we're not thinking just by ourselves. We live in such an individualistic culture where it's I'm dating, I'm this, and we have to realize that our relationships are in the church and in the family are so important. So as a young person gets older and they're in this realm where they're starting to think, you know, you're right on the edge of it here with an 18-year-old daughter, you know, these questions and these situations are going to arise here in these next years. That's the time where I like to emphasize that when our kids go off to college, for instance, if they do go to college or they graduate from high school and they go into the workforce, whatever they're doing at this time of life, they don't need their parents less. I always emphasize with the young people, you actually need your parents more, but in a different way. You need their counsel. And if you're in a good Christian home, you should be talking with your folks about what's going on in life and what kind of relationships you're involved with. When young people start getting secretive, where they're hiding relationships from their parents or doing things in dark places or using their devices to communicate in unhealthy ways, that's when they get into a lot of trouble. And what we're trying to do here is to offer counsel to keep from going that way. And one of those places is speaking with your parents. The book of Proverbs, I think it's, if you want a manual for dating, go to Proverbs, because I do think that there is, in a sense, I said there's not really a chapter in the Bible about dating, that's true, but there is a manual on seeking relationships and particularly seeking out a wife, because the writer to the Proverbs says over and over again, listen, son, listen to me, hear me, give me your heart, follow your father's instruction, get wisdom. And then in the context of that, in those first 9 or 10 verses, he's warning against adulterous women, against the ways of this world. And he's saying, here's what you need. Here's the wisdom you need. Let me give it to you. And then you follow the book of Proverbs, and how does it end? An excellent wife who can find the Proverbs 31 woman. So there is a lot of wisdom packed into the Proverbs that I think, if you really want to think about relationships, like you mentioned friendship earlier, so much in the Proverbs about what makes a good friend, what makes a good companion, what brings harm to a soul. So I do think that's where I would, like for young people wanting to think through these things, that's at least one book we could point to.
Yeah. And I think I appreciate the emphasis on parents. You know, I sometimes talk to young people and in talking to them, you know, and if they're in a relationship, you know, they love to tell me the advice that their friends give them. And I've sometimes said, you know, respectfully, I don't personally care what your friends think at all about your relationship. And, you know, well, why is that? Because they don't know anything. They're in the same place that you are in, right? There's, you know, the Bible does say there's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. Yes. And here, you know, whether it's parents or older people in the church, you know, young people do need to be encouraged. It matters who you listen to. And with respect, but not that much, I guess, your peers are not equipped to tell you much of anything about relationships. They're just not, because like I said, they're in the same place you're in. It's not like, you know, wow, they've been dating somebody for 5 months. So what, they've unlocked the secrets to that? They haven't. And so I think that's important. You know, you said a lot of good things there. I guess, you know, as you think about that, is marriage or an eye to marriage really the only reason that a Christian should be dating? Or what do you think? Maybe I have too many Christian liberty principles here. I'll be interested to hear you first. You know, are there other reasons that young people could date that maybe isn't specifically focused or narrowly focused on marriage?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate you making me think when you said that about getting advice from your friends. It's like if you're learning how to drive, you don't learn how to drive from your friends. You get someone who has their license and years of experience to help you to drive. And relationships are far more complicated than driving. Let's just put it that way. So we really need the counsel that others, and it's not just parents, so pastors, elders, mentors, you can get so much wisdom, as you said, from an abundance of counselors. Regarding dating, if we're going to define dating as a man and a woman, a young man and a young woman, in an exclusive type of relationship with one another, then if someone's going to enter into that, then yeah, I think that the real goal of that would be marriage. Now, that doesn't mean you have to make the decision in the first or second date. You have to get to know the person. So I think it's important for them to not just casually date. You know, again, I always told my kids, like, just enjoy being around people your own age, and particularly in groups. Don't let some guy or some gal start singling you off and you start getting wrapped up into something prematurely. I know you won't, like, I tell my kids this, but and they never like this illustration, but I don't care. I said, if I started going out to dinner with some other woman besides your mom and spent a lot of time with her, you would think that's wrong. If there's no good reason for doing that, which I can't even think of one. If you're going to go spend a lot of time with someone and you're not committed to them or committed toward seeing if this is going to end in marriage, then I think that's wrong. Because we can't have this exclusive guy-gal relationship with one another and there not be in the mind of one or both of the people desires and wanting this to progress towards something. And if you're not communicating clearly with one another what this relationship's about, then you need to step away from it until you get that more clear in your own minds what you're doing.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. I think, you know, you mentioned casual dating, and I think that's what a lot of the dating world is casual dating. And I think one of the keys here, again, as somebody who has not yet walked his children through it, you know, for me, intentionality is really the first step. Yep. Again, as Christians, we are called to be intentional about everything we do. That's part of what Paul means when he says that we are to live a circumspect life. We have to be trained to do that. We have to be discipled in that. And we have to be intentional in every area of life, right? We should never just as Christians and living in a distinctly Christian way, we don't just do things because that's what you do. Every life decision is to be made with intentionality. You know, I do tell my kids that with regards to what are your plans after school. You know, if you want to go get a job, great. If you want to go to college, great. I just want you to be intentional about it. I don't want you to just be, this is just the next thing to do. Every decision, we're to be intentional. And so dating is not a relationship that is suddenly excluded from the intentionality with which Christians are intended to live their lives. So I think that's important. And I do think, I'm not giving you pushback, maybe just thinking out loud. You know, I grew up in the 90s, and I grew up in 90s evangelicalism. And so I Kissed Dating Goodbye was the Bible of the youth group.
Yes.
You know, and that and the so-called, I know, cue the horror music, you know, purity culture. And there are some things about purity culture that are right on, because God literally does require purity of us.
Yes.
But, you know, I do appreciate what you're saying about, you know, dating should be done with an eye to marriage. I guess I've sometimes wondered, but is there, I think sometimes, again, having grown up in 1990s evangelicalism, you know, that made everything about a dating relationship instantaneously seem so serious. And it's like, oh, I got to figure out, am I going to marry? And girls would get carried away with their fantasies of marrying, and guys would be like, oh, you know, I got to do that. And I, you know, I do think what you're saying is right. That, you know, if you're going to be in a dating relationship, which is an exclusive relationship, you need to be intentional about, you need to have a reason for that. And at the end of the day, it is marriage, because very few people get married who did not in some capacity date prior to being married. That is usually the ordinary course. You know, I know there can be breakups and good reasons for breakups, but I also just, I kind of want to, you know, but that doesn't mean that a dating relationship has to, and I don't think you're saying this, you can correct me if maybe you are, that doesn't mean that a dating relationship has to start immediately on the are we going to get married foot. I think there is room to cultivate a friendship, some companionship, learning a little more about another person in a different context than what you're used to. Again, not casually and not flippantly, but what do you, you know, what do you think about that, Barry? Like, how do you simultaneously hold that, yeah, like, dating is a relationship that ordinarily in one way or another leads to marriage, but you also don't want young people to necessarily start on that foot, like, we've got to figure out if we're going to get married.
Oh, yeah. There shouldn't be like this. We're not necessarily saying it has to be a declared intentionality where the guy, you know, picking up the girl on the first time or asking her out says, now I can only do this if you're serious about getting married one day. You know, I don't think that's healthy, or it's just weird. But there has to be.
I love, we're allowed as Christians to just dismiss things because they're weird. And that is weird. I like that.
It has to be organic, right? I mean, relationships develop organically. And we could probably put some phases that occur in relationships between guys and gals. Like, there's this just, if we wanted to call it the friendship stage, as long as we understand that doesn't mean the friendship stage ends, you should always be friends, or a getting to know you phase where you're just getting to see someone else and perhaps starting to develop an interest in that person. And again, I think that's best just done being around them, participating in public events, you know, whether it's in class, it's with a group of friends, you're just getting to know someone. But then when you're thinking, this is someone I'm actually interested in, you're feeling the attraction, then I think that's when, you know, you start dating. And you can do that. We don't believe in casual dating, but we also believe that dating can have casual features to it. For instance, you don't have to put on the tie and the coat and bring roses your first date with someone like you do at the prom in high school, but rather you can just get time with them. And if you're starting to really feel yourself drawn to someone and there's some intentionality, this again is where I think a little bit of counsel, just so people know, talking to your folks a little bit. Interestingly, this wasn't planned. It just happened today. But on my car ride home today, I had a father with a son in college, and he called me asking about this. He's starting to show an interest in this young, or finding himself interested in this young lady. And so we were talking about this very thing. Just, it's great he's called you. It's great he's talking to you about it. That's wonderful. And then finding out how to take some steps forward and getting to know one another a little bit. You go slowly at first, so that you can just get to know them better and make sure this is someone that you want to keep developing an interest in. So whether you call that friendship to dating phase, or getting to know you to becoming a little bit more pursuant at that point in time, I think that's where, when you get to that phase, when you start getting to that phase, and if you go out for a time or two and you're starting to really think this could be someone that this could develop further with, and I think it's probably time at some point, I'm not saying after the first date, I'm not saying after the 10th date, just someplace along the beginning of this exclusive phase, somewhere in there, you're going to have to finally have some kind of conversation about things like boundaries. And so that's when I also always encourage my kids to have a good talk.
Yeah, no, that's helpful. And I think, and we'll move on from this point, you know, I think with all of that, one of the things that when I have spoken to young people about the topic, and will probably remind my children of, is that, you know, even if the dating relationship, right, it is with an eye toward compatibility for marriage, things like that, it is still a very conditional relationship. And, you know, it is okay to break up with someone. Like, yes, it hurts. It's very emotionally, it's not emotionally fun for anybody, either the one being broken up with or the one doing the breaking up, but it is conditional. And it is, you know, breaking up is allowed. And it's not a sin to break up with somebody because it is a conditional relationship.
It's hard to do too.
Yeah, it is. I wouldn't know. I was only broken up with. I never broke up with somebody. So
breaking up is hard to do.
There
was an old song.
Look at Barry. Look at Barry quote his cultural.
60 years ago. Yeah,
it is a good song. So so what about, you know, what encouragement do you give to Christians, boys or girls, or young men, young women? What kind of person should they be looking for in a dating relationship? What would the Bible say to that?
Well, definitely you're not to be unequally yoked. That's at the heart of it. So that automatically reduces the number of available men or women to you, because you have to be looking for Christians. It's disastrous. It's against God's plan for a Christian young person to intentionally go after someone who's not a believer. So that's the bottom line basic thing. And then from there, you would look at things such as their godliness, their holiness. It is good to look at people's families, although that shouldn't be all defining, because I've seen some wonderful, wonderful Christian spouses come from horrible upbringings, but they've learned and grown, and God sanctified them. So that's not ultimate, but it's still something you need to know about and look at. And then I think that you have to think about compatibility. Men and women are to complement one another, but in particular, a husband and wife really must do that in a truly fitting way. So there is such a thing, we could call it chemistry or attractiveness, or, you know, where we complement one another. And so there, you should be looking at someone, thinking about them, like, if I were to spend my life with them, do I see them, if it's a wife and I'm a man, do I see this as someone who I think would really follow me, who would really respect me and follow my leadership in the home? Is this someone I'm willing to lay down my life for? Like, I see this as the person, like, I'd give my life for her in order for her to ultimately be my wife. And so you should be thinking about those kinds of issues. Giftedness is a part of that, right? Like, we all lack in certain gifts. And so thinking about the gifts this other person has, and again, how that would fit with the gifts that I see the Lord giving me. Life direction. I find that so often when young people are being brought together, you can see the lanes are merging, so to speak, that the path one's on, the other one's on. It's pretty rare when one guy's really yearning to go to the mission field, and he's going this way, and then the other person doesn't want that at all. Usually there's some compatibility where you see both lanes merging together, so to speak. Although again, God can change a heart in that particular area.
Yeah, I think that's a good thorough answer. I think to go back to your first point, you know, we certainly know from 1 Corinthians 7 that we are only to marry in the Lord. And again, if we define a dating relationship in some way, shape, or form as related to marriage, which it is, because nobody gets married basically who hasn't dated, right? That principle is carried over to the dating relationship, and it is sinful, and it's certainly the height of folly for a Christian to begin dating someone who is not a Christian. I mean, just for so many reasons, you know, you noted not being unequally yoked. And when Paul says that, that's not even given in the context of marriage. That's just, you know, what harmony does light and darkness, Christ and Satan have? They have none. So how could you be in this kind of exclusive relationship? The Westminster Confession of Faith rightly notes, based on that, right? All kinds of people may marry, but they must marry in the Lord. And you don't marry rank pagans. You don't marry those who don't profess the true religion. You don't marry Roman Catholics by the Westminster Confession of Faith and the standard that set. And so those things need to be thought about. And I think, not to repeat everything that you said, but here's what I appreciate, is that all that you said there requires, so we talked about how dating needs to be approached intentionally. And here you're saying dating needs to be approached with discernment and actually quite a bit of maturity, which is probably one of the reasons why, you know, what we call casual dating, or, you know, young people, immature people in high school who really don't know how to even begin thinking and processing some of those things for themselves, let alone for what does that mean in the context of a relationship with another person. It does require maturity. It requires discernment. And I think young people just need to get used to that, and they need to be taught that, and they need to be instructed that by their parents. Mm-hmm. Barry, you know, how do you, I mean, one of the realities is that a lot of young people, you know, will start dating somebody that they shouldn't be dating. You know, I know I did that. And I know my parents were kind of bamboozled on, like, how do we approach that? If we tell him no, you know, he's just going to do it anyway, but then he's going to cut us out of his life. You know, what counsel do you give to parents when parents know, yeah, my kid shouldn't be dating this person? How do you help parents handle that?
Yeah, that's difficult, and I'm going to be careful because I don't think my kids listen to the podcast, so it probably doesn't matter. But maybe one or two does. But you know, there's been, you know, some of that where we've seen perhaps one of our children pursuing someone that we're not real excited about, and thankfully that always worked out. that ended up going a different direction, and I always tell my, you know, we have six children, and this is a whole other subject. One of my children has not heeded my counsel and is our prodigal, but my five youngest children, I always tell them, you married people sweeter than you are. We just, we're so thankful. We're so grateful.
What every kid wants to hear from their parent.
Yeah. Well, at least maybe the in-laws like that. I'm really serious. We're just so very thankful for the people that our children have married. We're so very blessed by their coming into our family. And one of the things that we just always told them is that you really need to be careful not to get too entangled with someone that you're just not sure about. And one of the ways you'll know whether this is someone that is agreeable is listening to our kids are pretty close, so listening to your brothers and sisters, listening to your counselors. So make sure you're listening. So I would, if like I'm having misgivings, and like you said, coming on too strong, I could probably drive them into the arms of the other. But if I get them to talk to other people that are wise and godly, if I'm right, they're probably going to be seeing the same thing. So that's really important. And then ultimately, this is where you really start praying. You pray for your kids when they're little, but usually you're just praying you can survive all the weariness and all the energy that's coming out of you. But when your children start becoming adults and they start entering these realms where you can't control it as much as you once did, this is where you really have to just be in prayer, asking God's spirit to protect your children and to place them in a relationship that's going to honor the Lord.
Yeah. No, that's good. And, you know, maybe I'm speaking from an ivory tower because I haven't had to deal with this. But, you know, I also do think, you know, children and young people, and even as they get into a dating relationship, the fifth commandment says that you are to honor your father and your mother. And, you know, we do believe that the seventh commandment, you know, does mean at the end of the day that we don't get to forbid lawful marriages. The Bible speaks to that, right? We don't forbid that which is lawful, but we also can't countenance that which is unlawful. And, you know, and I think there is a time when, you know, young people, you are called to honor your father and your mother, and they have a responsibility before the Lord to not countenance things that ultimately could be soul destroying to you, right? What does it gain a man, or what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? And I do think it is appropriate, whether it's parents, hopefully it's parents, but also other adults who love young people, to confront those young people. Right. Parents are not called to honor every one of their children's decisions. they're called to raise them in the Lord. And sometimes that is going to mean not countenancing even a dating relationship that could be so destructive and so dangerous. And I imagine there's a lot of fear as a parent. You know, am I going to alienate my child because, you know, the person they're dating is very significant to them and they think they love them and all of those things. But sometimes parents really do need to do the hard things in the name and by the grace of Christ, and pray that he would bless that. So yeah, am I off in that, Barry, or?
No. On one occasion I had to tell a young man, I said, you're not even close to loving my daughter like I love her. And you don't know her like I know her. And so you don't have the right to sit here and tell me some of the things you've just said.
Good for you.
That you think you know. And I know some things about you that aren't right now. And I'm not going to name it because I don't want to humiliate anyone. But he had a major area in his life he needed to address. And the relationship broke off. He was mad at me. Mad as all get out at me. But he came back around later. And my daughter was long gone from him, but he did come back later. It was quite a significant time later, and actually thanked me that I called something to his attention. And I think it was great that he listened and he actually took measures to change a significant thing in his life. And from what I've heard, he's happily married today. I don't know for sure, but just not to my daughter.
Happy ending. What about, you know, the dating relationship is an interesting one and filled, you know, I think young people sometimes have questions in the sense that, you know, in marriage, there are particular roles for husband and wife. A husband is to lead his wife. He's to nourish her. He's to, you know, wash her in the water of the word. A wife is to be submissive to her husband and love him. You know, does any of that carry into the dating relationship? Like what are those roles? If those roles have a place in the dating relationship, like what do they look like, or do they not belong in a dating relationship?
I would think that as the dating relationship goes on, they become more and more prominent, so the way that I would put it. So if this is going well, and one of the things I would say that I always have done with my children when they began to think that this is something they want to go deeper in, is I would ask to get together with them. And I would say to them, instead of me telling you what I think the boundaries of this relationship should be, of course, we often, you know, we're concerned, we don't want children entering into premarital sex and things of that nature, or getting so entangled before they've really gotten to the point where they're sure that this is the one they want to be with for the rest of their lives. I've asked them to go out on a date and talk about what their boundaries are. Like, what do you, you know, whether it's physicality, whether it's how much we're going to text to one another, communicate, how many times we're going to date, and come up with, you know, some of your boundaries, and then bring them back to me and let's talk about it. And I want them to own it. So instead of me mandating something or trying, this is where I think dating and courtship are different. In courtship, I believe the parent is controlling the interactions. It's more of a full control of the interactions with the couple. Whereas in dating, I think it should be guided by parental counsel, is how I would say it, rather than parental control. Again, realizing at any time, like I've just given, if I need to step in, I will. But you're trying to treat them as adults. You're trying to treat them as moral agents that are making choices about their future, and so you want them to think wisely about this. And so I've had some of our couples do that, and they come back, and if I see something that they maybe haven't thought of or talked about, I'll mention it. But then they kind of own it. And I say, now these boundaries will change because your relationship will change. But here's what we're doing right now. And get some accountability, not necessarily me. If you're in a discipleship relationship or a mentor relationship, make sure you're having people ask you if you're staying in that. And then, let that grow. And then as that progresses and they're getting more towards thinking about marriage, then I think these things that you've mentioned come more and more into play. How will we handle our relationship, and if we were to be married, what are we going to be doing? Where are we going to be living? Where, all those questions that come. How are we going to handle finances? When those questions start arising, that's probably indicating to you it's about time to get engaged. And then an engagement, then you can hit it really, really strong, deliberately. I always tell young people they should get premarital counseling from a godly couple, or particularly a pastor. A lot of pastors who perform marriages will do that for you. So
Yeah. No, I like that, right? And until you're married, in one sense, right, those are not responsibilities to be fulfilled in the Lord, right? A boyfriend is not the head of his girlfriend, and a girlfriend is not called to be submissive to her boyfriend. But I do like that idea of even setting down boundaries, expectations, because, as you feel that out, a man's going to want to know, can I lead her? Like, can I take on that role? And a woman's going to want to know, is he the kind of man that I can respect? And so while those roles aren't solidified and present, there does have to be a serious consideration of those things. And you're only going to be able to see that in a sense, in little ways where it manifests itself, and so I think that's very important. Well, we're coming up against the clock, but let me ask, just finish on this question. What does it look like for a dating couple to honor Christ in that relationship, even if the relationship doesn't lead to marriage and it leads to a very sad breakup? What do you think it looks like to honor Christ?
I go back to some of the words we used earlier. Definitely want to maintain holiness. So I shouldn't engage in physical activities that are unbecoming someone who's not married. And there could be different discussions we could have about that. But obviously, we could start with nudity. There should be no nudeness before you're married. That's when you're opening yourself up fully, is in the marriage context. So, but whether you can hold hands or kiss or how you touch one another, I think there has to be that holiness. And then we use the word intentionality. I think a guy should be very intentional when he begins to touch someone in a dating or engagement phase. And again, that gets back to the boundaries. You don't want to make anyone uncomfortable. So if I'm making someone uncomfortable with my behaviors, that's wrong. And so you should be thinking about that. I don't want to do something that's making the other person uncomfortable. And it can cut both ways, both the guy and the gal. So I think those are some key things to be thinking about in terms of doing it. If you have to have honest discussions with one another, it is hard to break up. But that should be understood. Even an engagement can be, I don't think you should get engaged and then hopefully that's never going to end in breaking up, but it is still possible because you're not married yet. You have not made that those vows to one another to stay together forever. And so if you honor one another well, even if you break up, I've told my kids, like, if this doesn't work out, I hope you can still be friends with this person. I hope you can still be in the same room. I hope you can be without shame when you see them because of the way that you conducted yourself with them and toward them.
Yeah. No, I like that. I think that's helpful. I think one of the ways that I'd approach the question, you know, how do you honor Christ? I think a lot of what we've talked about is honoring intentionality and discernment and maturity and care and sensitivity and honoring parents. All of those are ways to honor Christ. I might just end on this note. You know, it's always struck me that in Hebrews 13, verse 4, the apostle says, let marriage be held in honor among all. He doesn't say, let it be held in honor by those who are married. It is a universal marriage is to be held in honor among all people, young, old, men, women, married, unmarried. We all, as Christians, have the responsibility to honor marriage. And I think that when you think of what it means then to honor Jesus, I think, you know, in a dating relationship, how are we honoring marriage? And that's not just, am I thinking in terms of being married to that person? It means that you are dating in a way that protects the sanctity of marriage, the unity of marriage, the exclusivity of marriage, the privileges of marriage, you know, all of those things. And if that's your ambition, you know, then whether or not you break up, you get a step away from that relationship and say, but we honored marriage. And I think that's one way that I'd answer that. So, well, Barry, thank you for this discussion. It was helpful to me. I'm now going to sit my children down tonight and give them the dating talk. I'm really not. But it is good to hear, especially from you with the experience, not only as a pastor, but as a parent. I want to thank our listeners for tuning in to this episode of Three Guys Theologizing. Scott, if you made it through the whole of this episode, please come back soon. We would have loved to hear your perspective on these things. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Head to our website, 3gt.xyz, or if you've got an email to send us, send it to 3gt.xyz@gmail.com. Let us know what you think, and we will catch you next time.